You are Locked On Dynasty Football, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome to the Locked On Dynasty Football Podcast, presented by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi's the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell. You can find me on Twitter at RyanMC23. Joining me, as always, is Matt Williamson. Follow Matt on Twitter at WilliamsonNFL. Matt, Pepsi says this season will be different, and that has never been more true than what we're dealing with the past few days, the next few days. It's just craziness as a football fan, as a writer and a podcaster, as a fantasy player, and with the situation you're in, specifically with the Steelers, I imagine it's that times a million or more. Just talk to us about what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's utterly bonkers. And I've mentioned this before in this show and in my other podcasts and whatnot. I host a 4-6 show every day called The Drive with Dale Lawley, who's a longtime Steeler beat writer for Steelers.com. It's called Steelers Nation Radio, but our check comes from the Pittsburgh Steelers, signed by Mr. Rooney. I work for the Steelers indirectly. So that's, you know, a big source of what I do every day. And I'm in Pittsburgh. I'm doubting with the team. We've talked about these things before. But we've been previewing Steelers-Ravens now so many times, and it changes constantly, and it's just a whirlwind. I can't figure out where all these games are going to be played now and all the ramifications. And trust me, Steeler fans think it's all Baltimore trying to screw the Steelers, and there could be something to do with that, maybe. But you know, to give you some idea, you write articles. My buddy Dale, he writes for a website here in town called DK Pittsburgh Sports. It's all Pittsburgh sports. And every game, he writes a 4,000 to 5,000 word article previewing the game. He's had to write 3 of them so far for Ravens Steelers.
And he's had to write those because things keep changing. Not only the schedule, that's what we're looking at on the outside. It's just, when is this game actually going to happen? But when you dig in deeper, it's who's going to be available playing, specifically. Right. And now we've learned that the big shift is J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram. Now that the game is on for Wednesday, that those two guys are going to be back in the lineup. And if the Steelers and the Steelers fans weren't already irate, they sure are now that the Ravens are certainly not full strength, but a couple of important weapons back in the lineup. Just a crazy, crazy situation.
Keep it up and commentating on it has been impossible.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. Really, really, honestly, guys, no dynasty impact with this, other than we do get to see J.K. Dobbins when we didn't expect to. But just the wildest of situations. So, Matt, it is Tuesday, as we always do. We want to start and to dig in to our dynasty transactions. Actually, though, before we get to that, I heard you had kind of a wild Week 12 game, a fantasy game. Is that right?
I did, and I'm sure people – I'm not alone on this. I'm sure it happened to several. I'm sure some people were the benefactors of it. But I have a pretty good team. I'm in 7 dynasty leagues. I won this league last year. Maybe a little luck. I had Michael Thomas and Lamar that kind of hit, and I was kind of – outkicked my coverage a little bit. But I'm, you know, 5-6. I'm a pretty decent team. I'm currently losing by about 180 points to the team that has Mahomes, James Robinson, Will Fuller, Tyreek Hill, Gronk, and you know, nothing really else. But there's some 63s on there, 42. I mean, some massive points. And I'm sure a lot of listeners are on one side of that in one way or another with some of these massive scorings from this weekend. Crazy.
Yeah, there were some big numbers put up. Even on Thursday, on the two Thanksgiving games, I tweeted something to the effect of, we've already seen our quarterback one, Deshaun Watson, our running back one, Antonio Gibson, and our wide receiver one in Will Fuller. All three of those guys with huge games, all well over 30 points. And, of course, Tyreek Hill and Derrick Henry had other plans. Tyreek Hill with the seventh best fantasy performance of all time with over 60 points. So, yeah, there were certainly plenty of fantasy teams that were on the wrong side or maybe on the right side of those players. And losing by 175, 180 is a tough way to go, though. We'll,
yeah, not holding out a lot of hope.
Yeah, maybe some of those Steelers and Ravens can bring you back a little bit.
I don't think.
Matt, one player that I was super impressed with this past week and that I would be buying is Austin Eckler. And the price tag is going to be high. Honestly, we should have mentioned him as a player to target and to buy weeks ago, because we do talk on here often that you want to buy that dip. You want to buy the player when they're injured or sometime during that time that they are out. And we saw Eckler falling down dynasty rankings. We saw him falling down ADP, and we just watched it happen. I didn't buy. I wish I had, because in his first game back, he gets 16 targets. And I saw some people kind of blowing that off as far as, well, yeah, that the Chargers were down, so that's what you can expect. This team has won two games all year. They're going to be down the rest of the year, and you're going to be able to use Austin Eckler and expect a top 10 running back performance out of him in those PPR leagues every single week. Certainly the price has spiked big time after what we saw on Sunday, but I would still be buying even at those inflated prices.
Couldn't agree more. And a couple notes in addition to what you said, which was excellent, is I would imagine him and Herbert's relationship will only get better. I mean, I'm not sure it'll be Rivers and Eckler level, but I mean, he's going to be the best friend, much like Keenan Allen has been for a young quarterback, and they'll only get more and more on the same page. The Chargers, I think they'll have a coaching change, but for all in all, the roster is quite stable and should only get better. I'm talking like offensive line help this offseason. And Eckler's signed for a couple more years, so I think that's really promising. And he's just a flat-out really good player. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that he's going to be challenged for running back touches next year. I think that offense is going to be really good.
Matt, they ran the ball down 10 with less than a minute left. There should be a coaching change right now.
Oh, my God, yes. I can't. He loses. It's not a coincidence that they lose quick, you know, all these close games. It's time and time again. It's not being aware. It's poor. It's really poor. And what a great job that would be to inherit Herbert and that roster and Bosa and Derwin James coming back. And, you know, wow, high pick.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to be a great spot for someone. We'll see if it's Eric Bieniemy or if it's – yeah, we'll see. There's some good options. Joe Brady as well. Some good young coaches around the league, and one of them is going to land in a great spot with the Chargers. Matt, what's your shopping list look like this week?
This is another one that I own no stock of. It breaks my heart. And that's buy Justin Jefferson. Buy him high. Buy him really high. He's a really, really good football player. And I didn't hate him coming out as a rookie by any stretch, but I did prefer Rager. I preferred Pittman as that those receivers behind Judy and Lamb in rookie drafts. And if that's the case, you're not going to end up with Justin Jefferson, because he was going, you know, ahead of those guys in most, and I didn't see him that way. I looked at him as a really good slot at LSU, and Burrow helped his cause. And then, you know, they move him outside here in the league, and he steps up and really has been impressive. And then yesterday, without Thielen and all coverage headed his direction, he passed that test too. And it's just like, he's a star. You know, treat him like a star. If it costs you a couple first-round picks, it'll be worth it. He's a really, really good player.
Yeah, I think we can talk about Justin Jefferson as a top 10 dynasty wide receiver. You want to talk about certainly in the same company as CeeDee Lamb, who I had ranked at one point as high as wide receiver 2. I came off that a little bit. I think Lamb is my 7 or 8, and Jefferson's right in there as well. But all of those young wide receivers Jefferson belongs in that company as well. So I totally agree. I don't think two first would even buy him, honestly. I think it's going to cost more than that. But I agree with you. Pay the price, especially if you can move off of one of those receivers that is producing. I mean, if you can trade DeAndre Hopkins for Jefferson or Michael Thomas, I think you're going to have to add to either of those guys, honestly, to get Jefferson, but I would be willing to do that.
Yeah, I would too. And I think Cousins will be back. I think it's a pretty strong organization. They're starting to win. Cook will probably be back. The O-line's playing well. It's not a bad situation either. They go deep to him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's fun to watch too.
Yeah.
Matt, when we come back, we will continue our team building talk, our dynasty talk with a few players that have been in the news lately.
Folks, thanks to lack of natural athleticism like yours truly, or commitment, or overbearing sports parents, or whatever, but fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. The football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. I sit here with my son on game day, and you know, we sit here and have a Pepsi and watch a game. It's good stuff. Pepsi is a refreshment you need to power through any game day. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching.
All right, welcome back. And before we get into that team building talk, before we hit on a few players that have been in the news over the past few days, I just want to remind you that tomorrow on Locked On Dynasty, we'll be holding our latest Dynasty Value Study. So check back in for those. We always like to see what those players are worth. We talk about trades. We talk about rankings, Dynasty, Twitter polls, and everything else to really nail down the value of a couple of different players each week. So listen in for that. Matt, let's talk about some players in the news. And the first one I want to hit on is Will Fuller. We talked about those players on Thanksgiving with impressive performances. He was one of them. A couple of long touchdowns, another huge game for the Texans. And if you've got Will Fuller on your dynasty roster, you were flying high. He's finally healthy. All the knocks against Will Fuller have gone away, except now they haven't, because his season is basically over. He got popped and suspended for 6 games for PEDs. And from a fantasy standpoint, his season is certainly over. The Texans, I don't think they're going to squeak into playoff contention, although they've started to turn things around. But basically, we're not going to see Will Fuller back on the field, and certainly not back in fantasy lineups. What are your thoughts overall on what you've seen from him? And does this news change your opinion and your dynasty value of Will Fuller?
A little, because obviously he's been great and an every week starter for you for the remainder of this year, and you're thrilled to have him, and now you're without a starter. So obviously that hurts his value. You can't use him the rest of the year, more or less. That's a killer. But he's a free agent after the year, you know, and he was speculated in some trade talk. Green Bay was supposedly interested. After this, can you franchise him? Do they want to extend him? Who's going to be in charge of those decisions in Houston? You know, and this is going to sound kind of bad. I don't mean it this way necessarily, but he's been injured a lot in his career. Is it a coincidence that PEDs in his system helped keep him on the field this year, and now they won't be going forward? You know, like, I just think you need to look at those things. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a doctor or a PED specialist, but I know Will Fuller's been hurt a lot, and he hasn't been this year, and he just got dinged for PEDs. So I want to, in the end, I want Will Fuller to play with Deshaun Watson. Other than that, I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah, that's fair, because like I said earlier, everything was looking great for Will Fuller, because really the only knock against him throughout his career has been the injury history, and that's been a big deal because he has suffered so many injuries, and despite the upside that he's shown with some huge plays and huge games in general, he was viewed as a player that we couldn't count on for long. And that's kept his value relatively down. And we were starting to see that change over the past few weeks and really this entire season. But now, just like you said, those questions are going to crop up. Is this why he stayed healthy? Is this why he was maybe even performing at such a high level? So I think at the very least, the ascension that we've seen with Fuller's dynasty value is going to rapidly slow down. It's going to stop. Would you be buying? Let's say one random first. And maybe random is not even fair because we pretty much know where these picks are going to land at this point. A mid first for Will Fuller.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think Houston would have a hard time moving on from him. And again, I think there's a better chance than not he's catching bombs from Deshaun Watson for the next couple of years, and that's good enough for me.
Well, I thought so too. Does your thought on that change when you consider they tried to trade him 2 or 3 weeks ago at the trade deadline?
I don't know. This is a tough one. You know, just because there's so many variables in the Houston organization, and I don't know what kind of contract Fuller wants. He's a unique style of wide receiver. I mean, they might want big, physical, after the catch, break tackle, A.J. Brown type guys in this new system, and he doesn't fit it. So I don't know. I mean, I just knew that they moved on from Hopkins last year. Can you move on from your next best guy this year? And really, is that the if your best interests are Watson's at heart? I don't know, but I'm willing to risk it that there's a better chance than not that he's a Texan.
Well, we know who moved on from DeAndre Hopkins, and and he's not around anymore. So I don't think we can expect necessarily those same poor decisions to be made. Hopefully, for Deshaun Watson's sake. I'm with you. I hope and really expect Will Fuller to be back in Houston. And in the end, even with this news, I think that's good news for his dynasty value. Matt, we saw in Week 12 Ryan Fitzpatrick get the start for Miami. The story was Tua Tagovailoa had suffered a thumb injury. I don't buy that for a second, but regardless, we didn't see Tua in action. He was out for that game, and they get the pretty easy win against the Jets, and they're one step closer to really turning this around and maybe even getting a playoff spot this year. That has me worried that we might not see Tua much the rest of the year. What have been your thoughts on him, and how do you see the rest of this season playing out?
This is interesting. I think it's a really good topic because I agree with you that I think Fitzpatrick's the starter now for the rest of the year, at least as long as Miami's in the hunt, which I don't know why they'd fall out of the hunt. I mean, their defense is great. They're a well-coached team. They should be in it till the end. And I believe they believe that Fitzpatrick's a better football player than Tua is right now. Now, that doesn't mean that he's not still a great prospect, and he showed some things in the little time we saw him. But sometimes, and Herbert's a really good example of this, and certainly Burrow and Kyler, that sometimes you watch a game or two of these guys as soon as they hit the NFL, and you say, yep, he belongs. Well, I'm not there with Tua on that yet. You know, it wasn't like, boy, he can handle the size of this game, he can handle the speed of this game, the physicality, the durability. I'm not there yet. I haven't changed my opinion on him as a prospect since I saw him last at Alabama. And this is an outside shot, and maybe I shouldn't even bring it up, because I think that Tua is the long-term guy in Miami. But they have two picks, and if could they do a Rosen move and move up and grab Trey Lance? It's possible. I've heard those rumors. I think that's very unlikely, though.
Yeah, those rumors have been out there, and they were out there even prior to this week. They were out there a couple weeks ago that Miami could move on from Tua after this season. And yes, that sounds crazy to us, but if you had talked about that same idea at this point in Josh Rosen's rookie year, it would have sounded crazy at that point as well. So certainly a situation to monitor. Like Will Fuller, Tua Tagovailoa is another player whose dynasty value he was gaining as well, and that's obviously slowing down. And also, like Fuller, I like investing in Tua still. still expect him to retain that job in 2021, at least, if not the rest of this year.
Yeah, I think he's a great buy low, though. I mean, there's a 95% chance he's their opening day starter next year. Maybe he's throwing to what's-his-face at LSU wide receiver or Allen Robinson or Will Fuller, you know? I mean, like, they'll be better around him.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You would think that wide receiver would be a priority for the Dolphins this offseason. They still have a ton of picks. They went on that shopping spree last year, mainly focused on the defense and getting some offensive line help as well. But I think now they start to turn their attention to the skill position spots on offense. Last player I wanted to ask you about, Matt, is Daniel Jones. We saw him go down in week 12 with the injury. Looks like he is going to miss some time. And really, really feel for him because it felt like he was finally turning things around. The Giants were turning things around. They still get the win in that game and are in a position to contend or to even win the NFC East, as crazy as that sounds. But it won't be with Daniel Jones, at least over the next couple of games. Any thoughts on that injury or what to do with him?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he's going to miss multiple weeks. And it was a bad hamstring injury. You could just see him fighting through it. He was in a lot of pain. It really hindered his ability to deliver the football and generate any power from his lower body. But I do like the way he's been playing lately. And of all the teams that could, you know, quote, be in the quarterback market, I think the Giants are most likely to not draft one because they might win the division. I don't think they're going to end up with a top five pick. I don't think they'll be trade up mode. I think it's give Jones another year with Saquon and maybe some help around him. I don't love him. I didn't love him coming out of school, but gradually he's winning me over a little bit.
Yeah, I think at the very least he has earned another season, and that was yet another thing that was in doubt just over the past few weeks. But like I said, turning things around, playing better, and hopefully he can get back soon. I'm not quite as confident in buying low or buying Daniel Jones, certainly as I was last offseason. But if the price is low enough, and for some people it will be, I would still take a shot.
The beauty is, I think it's now a given that he's going to run a lot. You know, that's more incorporated in their offense, and it works.
Yeah, yeah, very good point. Matt, when we come back, we'll finish up with a listener question, as always.
First, I want to tell you guys about Built Go. And Built Go is all about breaking through your wall, whether it's a mental or physical wall. Break through it with Go every day. They're easy to take 1.5-ounce packages. Take them with them wherever you go, the golf course, the office, whatever it is you're going to do, the gym, whatever. It's basically a 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling, but it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and way better results. And there's three delicious flavors, chocolate mint, chocolate coconut, peanut butter honey. Built Go works so well because Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is a fast absorbing, so it gets into my system fast, plus it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my work. It promotes joint and soft tissue, hair and skin health. This stuff literally makes you feel and look better. So visit builtgo.com and use our promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go.
Matt, before we get into our listener questions and wrap up the show, I want to tell you and tell all our listeners about some of the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this one, Matt. It's called Peacock and Williamson. NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson.
Host. Who?
I know. Who is that guy? Matt and Brian host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. It's a good one.
It's a great one. And it's the real quick, folks, I was the first podcast on the Locked On NFL side. It started out as a Locked On NBA network, and it was the Locked On NFL network. Or it was the Locked On NFL show. It was a national show. And all we did was change the name of it to Peacock and Williamson. So check that out. I'd really appreciate it.
Matt, we've got a couple great listener questions as well. First one comes from BG. That's at G2Brandon4G on Twitter. As a Zeke owner, would you be looking to sell this offseason for pennies on the dollar or hold, hope Dak comes back, and hope we see the offense we thought we were getting this year? So we're talking Ezekiel Elliott. We're talking Dak Prescott. We're talking Dallas Cowboys. Lots of questions with this offense. We don't even know if Dak is going to be the quarterback, as Brandon kind of mentioned there, hoping Dak comes back, and not only from the injury, but just hoping he stays with the Cowboys contractually as well. What are your thoughts on Zeke, Matt?
It's a risk. I mean, I think it absolutely is a risk. If I were to put a chip down, I would think you'll get Tyron Smith and Dak Prescott and a facsimile of the 2019 Cowboys offense that was, frankly, awesome.
Yep.
But that's 2 years removed for a running back like Elliott. Is he the same? He hasn't quite looked the same this year. I don't think he's making quite as many yards on his own. Although I'm interested that the second half of the season might be better than the first for him. He's shown some glimpses of that. I think you just need to know who the owner of the team is, and that's Jerry Jones, obviously. He's about winning now. He's about big names on the back of jerseys. I think he's going to run it back.
Yeah, I agree. I think they do everything they can to get Dak back on that team. There was, at one point, maybe some talk that they would just tank it and try to get Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields or whoever that might be. That is not really an option at this point when you look at the current projected draft order. So I think, yeah, they're doing everything they can to get Dak Prescott back. And as you mentioned, it's not just Dak is out, so the offense is terrible. They're missing multiple offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And it was not so long ago that this was considered the best offensive line in the game. And I don't think it gets back to that point next year necessarily. We can't snap our fingers and fix those injuries or make those guys a couple years younger. But it certainly is still an above average offensive line. And that's, of course, huge for Ezekiel Elliott and for the running game. And then just thinking from strictly a dynasty perspective, players like Zeke who have steadily lost dynasty value all season, the offseason is not the time to sell those players. We talk about it all the time on here. We talk about it every time we're shifting from offseason to the regular season and then when we're doing the reverse at around this time of year. You want to buy those veterans. By those players who have, like Zeke, who have been losing value, but still certainly have some hope, and in his case have some big time hope to return to an elite asset, elite producer. So no, I would not be selling this offseason. Certainly wouldn't be selling for pennies on the dollar, as Brandon mentioned. You just have to hold him, and if you do want to trade him, September, October, that's going to be the time to do that. If you already missed that window this year, and you obviously have, then you just have to hang on. Now, of course, if you get a strong offer, if somebody comes and wants to give you two top five first round picks, then yeah, then you're selling. But for pennies on the dollar or just to try to get out from under him, then no, I would keep him.
Super quick question for you. I know you're a Pollard fan, and I don't disagree with you. Is he a buy, though, as an insurance policy, as a compliment? Could he be the successor? You know what I mean? Like, Pollard's interesting.
Yeah, I don't view him as the successor if they were to move on from Zeke, or, you know, if Zeke were to suffer a serious injury, you know, knock on wood for that. But I don't view Pollard as that every down back type of player. but I still think he's a player to target in dynasty trades or dynasty drafts that we might have upcoming in the next few months. In short, that's an offense I still want pieces of, and that includes the backup running back. And we've seen Pollard's role grow even over these past couple of weeks.
Yeah, good point.
Matt, we've got one more question from Andy. That's Andy Barrett, NFL, on Twitter. And Andy says, if it happens, how much, if anything, does Lawrence going to the Jets affect his stock? If I have the 1.01, am I still taking him, or is Fields potentially going to the Jags a better bet? Matt, you got into this a little bit, I think it was last week, talking about buying those players that might be the future pass catchers or future teammates of Lawrence and Fields on the Jets, on the Jaguars roster. I really like that point and that idea you had. But what about the value of those specific quarterbacks? Trevor Lawrence with the Jets, do you knock him for that landing spot?
No. You know, we were talking Tua earlier. I like to bring this up because they're in the same division. They just recently played, obviously. That I like to tell Jets fans on my Peacock and Williamson show that, hey, just a year ago, you guys were the Jets. And it's looking, you know, hey, Jets fans, the Dolphins were exactly like you were at this time at Halloween last year. And you were miserable and everyone's laughing at you. And what if Tua or Burrow goes to Miami? Does that destroy them? No. I mean, if you've got a quality GM and a lot of resources, which I think the Jets do, you can get back to respectability pretty quick. You know, they have a left tackle. They got a couple receivers. I think they will build a nice, you know, situation around Lawrence. So it's not awful to me.
Yeah, it's not awful to me either, though. And I really like that point. I've heard you say it on here before and on your other pod as well. The only disagreement I would have, or the main difference I see between this year's Jets and last year's Dolphins, is Miami had that front office in place that was building the new regime, right? That was starting the rebuild. And they had the coaching staff in place that they expect to lead them that way. And the Jets have obviously done it differently, just riding out Adam Gase into these – you know, what potentially could be a winning or a winless season and on their way to that 1.01 pick. He's obviously gone. That's not even a discussion we have to have.
But there's an unknown,
right? Just the unknown of who is that next guy. You mentioned a trustworthy GM. I'm not sure I'm there with the Jets. So I think those questions at least leave a little more doubt than maybe we had this time last year with Miami, who was they were taking their lumps, but we still saw that light at the end of the tunnel. And I do think it's a little different with the Jets this year.
It's a good point, because at this time last year, Flores had them playing tough. You knew Flores would be back. He looks like a winner at head coach, which is proving to be true, getting more out of his talent than most coaches would, I think. So we don't know who that Jets guy is going to be. Is he going to be as good as Flores? Probably not.
Yeah. You know, they're going to have to hit a home run with a couple of hires and with a lot of draft picks to turn that thing around like the Dolphins have. Mm-hmm. That is it for today's show. Please make sure you download and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Remember to follow the show at Locked On Dynasty. Follow Matt at Williamson NFL, and I'm Ryan MC23. We'll be back next time with more Locked On Dynasty.